printout with you. You'll notice it's James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. You'll notice there are two titles here. The first title is the test of a living faith. I'll ask you the question as we begin. Is God going to test your faith? Yes, He is. And what is faith? Faith is trust. Faith is confidence. Faith is divine persuasion. Also, there's a second title that is listed. It is human obligation. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, we want to pray with the assurance that our prayer is going to be answered. But there is a human obligation, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. Well, let's begin with the introduction. The assurance of answered prayer. Stop there. Underline the words, assurance of answered prayer. Can you say without any doubt whatsoever in your Christian life at this moment that you believe that every time you pray, God is going to answer your prayer? Do you really feel assured of that? If you do, say amen. 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 This assurance of answered prayer does not mean that God is some kind of a dispensing machine into which we put a prayer and out comes whatever we select. The promise of answered prayer makes its spiritual demands upon the one asking. James points to the needed attitude for effective praying and vividly portrays the man who does not get his prayer answered from the living God. Well, let's look at verses 6 through 8. But he, underline the word he is referring to a Christian, a child of the living God, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He prays, but along with that prayer comes a very important obligation. But he must ask, underline the word ask. He must ask how? In faith. So prayers are not a ritual. Prayers are not a duty. Prayers are to be offered to the Lord in faith. But he must, underline that word must. It means it is not an option. He must, with assurance given in the Scripture, he must ask for wisdom. Underline the word wisdom. Wisdom, once again, is spiritual insight and spiritual understanding. We live in a physical world. We also live in a spiritual world. So to understand the spiritual world that we cannot see in any way, then we need spiritual insight and spiritual understanding. But he must ask for wisdom in faith. Underline faith. Faith, once again, is trust in the Word of God. It is trust in the living God. It is also confidence that we draw from the Word of God as we ask for wisdom. Faith is also divine persuasion. Remember, we cannot go in the direction of what God would have us do unless we are first divinely persuaded. And then we must respond to that divine persuasiveness in a very positive way. But he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting. Underline those two words, without doubting. That's what it says, and that's what it means. It means God's willingness to help. But he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. Have you ever doubted the willingness of God for help? Would you say amen? Or would you say, oh me? For the one who doubts is like a billow surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything, underline anything, and that's exactly what it means in the Greek language, anything at all from the Lord, being a double-minded man. Now please underline this, unstable and restless in all his ways. Let's do some more underlining. unstable, and restless in all. Underline it, circle the little word all, because it means in all his ways. In everything he thinks, feels, or decides. Here is the Christian who will live a very unstable, unspiritual life. Restless in all his ways. Again, if you haven't underlined this phrase, and restless in all his ways. Not some ways, but all his ways. In everything he thinks, feels, or decides. But let him ask. Circle the word ask, if you will. It means to ask for something to be given. But he must ask for what? Wisdom. And where does wisdom come from? It is beyond your human logic, this wisdom. It is beyond your human reasoning. It is a gift of grace that comes from God, so it comes from above. We are not born with this kind of wisdom. It is a wisdom that God is the source of. All right, here we go. But he must ask at the beginning for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. I'm going to ask you a question. Very simple. Do you need the help of God in every circumstance, every adversity, every trial that you are going to be allowed to go through? And your answer is? Absolutely, yes. Why? Because everything God is going to allow to come into our lives is going to be beyond us in every way. So we cannot, even as Christians, help ourselves. For the one who doubts is like a what? Billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything, nothing, zero, zilch at all from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all his ways, in everything he thinks, feels, or decides. But let him ask in faith. All right, let's restate this. Underline or circle the word ask. And again, it means ask for something that is to be given. Secondly, ask is singular, meaning every individual must meet this requirement. There are no exceptions. You must ask this for yourself. I cannot ask it for you. But let him individually, as a child of God, ask in faith. This is a present imperative, and it means there can be no acceptable prayer without faith. How many of you have not had acceptable prayers? May I raise my hand? Not all prayer has been acceptable. Is that correct? Now we know what the problem is. We're going to correct it. And from this moment on, every prayer you pray, you can have the assurance, because now you know, according to the Word of God, how to pray, and God accepts your prayer. All right? So what is the enemy of all prayer? Unbelief. Unbelief. Have you ever prayed this prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I believe, but I pray for that small amount of unbelief that is in my prayer. God, I love you. God, I trust you. God, I believe in you. But there's still some options that I want to leave open, because I'm not sure of my assurance that my prayer is going to be heard and accepted. Faith. This one will get you. But let him ask in faith. Let's look at faith. A full, underline the word full. Can I ask you a question? How full is your faith right at this moment? How full is your faith? It says a full, not half faith, not a little bit of faith, but a full faith. I want you to fill the glass completely to the brim. I want full faith when you pray. I'll go back here just a few steps that we've already mentioned. When you pray, don't leave any door open. Don't leave any option on the table that, well, if God really doesn't come through, here's some things that I believe that I can handle, that I can give to the situation that's going to bring about what I want as I pray to the living God. I want you to understand something. The word faith, as we begin, means a full, and that's what we need, a full faith, not a little bit, not half a glass, not three quarters of a glass, but I want my what? Glass full to the brim. God says when you pray, leave no room for yourself. Full faith is a full dependency upon the living God. I am praying that God is going to hear me. I have full faith in that. I pray that God is going to do what needs to be done. I have full faith in that. If it's anything less, God says, I won't hear it. Well, I thought God heard every prayer that was uttered. What is James telling you? But let him ask in faith, a full and unquestioning. Have you ever questioned God when you were praying? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. And I'm asking such and such. But if you don't mind, I'd like to question just some things. God says, how can you, human being, how can you, Christian, even a child of God, and the Holy Spirit is living in you, how in the world you've read the Word of God, you've studied it to a certain amount, and how in the world can you question me when you pray? Am I not all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present and all-sufficient, then how in the world will you question me when you pray? You know how you should end that prayer? God, I have prayed. I have talked to you. I have poured my heart out to you. And now I'm going to end this prayer like this. Your will be done. Because sometimes I figure that I'm just throwing some words out on the table. But I've read in Romans that when you don't know exactly what to say in prayer, the Holy Spirit says, that's okay. I'll take your prayer to God. I know your heart. Amen. Full faith. Unquestioning faith. Commitment to when you pray, is there commitment in your prayers? Commitment to and dependence. Underline that word dependence. And write Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. What does it say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of Almighty God. The word poor in the Greek language means 100% dependent upon Jesus Christ. In other words, that's a full dependence. Are you getting it now? God wants nothing less than the fullness of faith. A full and unquestioning commitment to and dependence upon God. Underline the word God. Who do you need to be sold out to? God. So the walk of faith is a life that is lived trusting God, listen to this, in the midst of difficulties. What does the word endurance mean? It means to stay put when God is allowing a trial or diversity in your life. Trial. Stay put. What do we pray most of the time? God, get me out of here. God, deliver me. I can't handle this. He said, good, let me handle it for you. He says, good, let me grow you in this trial, in this time of adversity and hardship. I want you, he says, to depend upon me. How? Fully. full faith without questioning me. Sold out to God. Can I ask you a question? Are you sold out to God? I mean, God is everything in your life. You don't question Him. Your faith is full. It's overflowing. But you know what? I can sit beside my two boys or wife and I can pray for Terry. But did you hear what the Scripture says? Let him ask in faith. He says that's also in the singular. You know what? I can't pray that for my family. But my family needs to hear it in you. And they need to see it as you act on what you're praying in full faith. So when something is allowed in their life and they need some full faith, they're going to say, this is the way Mama prayed. This is the way that Daddy prayed. They prayed in full faith, unquestioning commitment, and 100% dependence upon the living God. And you know what? I'm going to do that for myself. So remember, there's a lot of teaching that needs to be done, not only in the house of God, but in every family living. Back to the printout. A full and unquestioning commitment to and dependence upon God. A strong commitment, listen to this, to act. You might want to underline that. To act on what is right. Where do you get that what is right stuff? You get it from the what? The Word of God. That is the Scripture of Holy God. So faith is not simply a state of mind. Have you ever heard somebody say, I have faith? But if you have faith, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, you don't have to right now, but I'm telling you, when you get time, that's what you'll want to do. Faith is not simply a state of mind. It is trust in God that expresses itself in action. The heroes of the faith, heroes. Hebrews chapter 11. They didn't just say, you know what, I feel good, I feel strong, I feel that I have faith. They had faith and they acted upon it and God blessed them for it. Well, he says this, the opposite of faith is what? James says a person of doubt is like the surf of the sea driven by the wind. This deep-seated doubt is described by James as being double-minded or two-souled. Listen to James 4:8. Come close to God. Underline that phrase, come close to God. It means turn toward Him. Turn toward Him, not away from Him. Now, here's a question. How close are you to God right now? How's your intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ? How close are you? You know how close you are, don't you? 1 to 10, I'll let you choose the number. Come close to God with a contrite heart. It's repentant. And He will come close to you. Is that not a promise from the living God? How many of you say, I just don't feel close to God? Well, let me ask you a question. How close are you? How close are you? Maybe you're too far away. Maybe you're trying to serve in Christianity way behind Him. When's the last time you were intimate with Him? When's the last time you were close to the living God? Well, I've heard Christians say, you know what, Terry, I've lost faith in God. Well, how far behind Him are you? You'll never say that when you get to walking hand in hand with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. When you have a full faith and you're fully committed to the living God, you will never, ever say that. My friend, God is always there. He's always there. Let's go back to the printout. Come close to God with a contrite heart, and He will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Underline the word sinners. It means who have not been committed to the ways of God. Who have not been committed to the ways of God. And purify your unfaithful hearts, you double-minded people. If you don't know this, you can write a little note. This is a healthy spiritual relationship with God. Well, I've got a little that you don't have. Here we go. James chapter 4, verse 8. What does it look like to daily humble yourselves before the Lord? Answer, first you must submit to God and draw near to Him. To submit to God is to recognize your weakness and to stop fighting and to surrender to Him as your ultimate and final authority. If you had the power to live a transformed life on your own, you wouldn't need greater grace. To draw near to God is to come into His presence with prayer, praise, and obedience. However, if you reserve this for Sundays only, you won't draw near enough. Let's go back to James 4:8. Come close to God with a contrite heart, and He will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your unfaithful hearts, you double-minded people. Well, look at the word double-minded. This word indicates an impurity of our inner person. What is a double-minded person? Don't turn yet. It is lack of trust in the Lord. That's number one. If you're double-minded, it's going to be a lack of trust in the Lord. If you're double-minded, you're going to have spiritual instability. Your allegiances are not going to be clear. Your whole outer life is profoundly going to be affected. Lives foolishly and is out of sync with God's ways. Now turn to page 2. Top of the page, A. Where there should be one thought, goal, attitude, or devotion, we find two competing thoughts. That's double-minded. A double-minded person is one who wants his or her will and at the same time God's will. Have you ever been there? That kind of person is unstable. Now listen to this. We'll bring it over from page 1. In everything, not some things, but everything he does. Imagine what happens when a double-minded individual faces a double-barrel trial in life. Harold, this so reminded me of you. I heard it said that one of the cheapest and easiest ways to catch a monkey is to cut off the end of a hollow, long-necked gourd. Fill it with rice and tie it to a tree. Yours would be shotgun shells. The hungry monkey will push his scrawny little hand into the thin neck of the gourd to grab the rice. He'll clutch it with his hand and try to pull it out. But the monkey's fist is bigger than the gourd's neck. He's trapped because the hungry, short-sighted monkey won't release the rice to remove his fist. He simply lacks the wisdom to decide that freedom without the rice is better than captivity with a meal. That's the double-minded Christian. Inside the gourd is my will. Part of me wants to live in God's will. But the other part wants it on my terms. And when a trial comes, I refuse to release my grip and trust that the purpose and plan of God will bring true freedom. Verses 9 through 12. Let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his high position. As a born-again believer, called to the true riches and to be an heir of God, and the rich man is to glory in being humbled by trials revealing human frailty. Knowing true riches are found in the grace of God. For like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass. Its flower falls off and its beauty fades away. So too will the rich man in the midst of his pursuits fade away. Blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God, is the man who is steadfast under trial and perseveres when tempted. But when he has passed the test and been approved, he will receive that victor's crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let's answer some questions. Number one, do trials affect everybody? Yes, you just read about it. Even the wealthy? Yes. Is wealth a shield of protection? No. Will wealth cushion a fall? Number two, is wisdom and faith required for both poor and rich? What is this high position? You'll find it in verse 9. The position believers have in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And he raised us up together with him. Underline the word him. that is believers, Christians in Christ, spiritually participate in the major events of Jesus' experience. What are they? Crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, enthronement. Believers share his life and suffering. They will also share in his glory. And he, who's he here? Who raised you up? Jesus Christ. And he, Jesus Christ, the incarnate, eternal Son of the living God, without beginning, without origin. He has always existed, and he is God. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is not God, you cannot be saved. And he raised us up, that is, the power of God raised us up, together with him, that is, Jesus Christ, when we believed and seated us with him, Jesus, in the heavenly places, in a position of present and future victory, because we are in Christ Jesus, and he did this so that in the ages to come he might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus by providing for our redemption. Now turn to page 3, if you will. Question, when do the worst trials come for the wealthy? When they lose their worldly riches. When troubles enter their lives that money can't deflect, a person of wealth too is then reminded of the fragility of life. James 1:10, and the rich man is to glory in being humbled by trials. Trials revealing human frailty. Knowing true riches are found in the grace of God. For like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. You might want to add this. There's more to life than stuff. There's more to life than stuff. Don't neglect the eternal. If such an individual fails to cooperate with the work of God, but instead, like a monkey grasping the rice, is determined to have his own will, he will fade away, as James says, in the midst of his pursuits. But the one who stands up under the weight of trials will be blessed. Who's going to stand up under the weight of trials with you? It is going to be the living God, Jesus Christ himself. Now, look at the word blessed. The word blessed means genuinely happy. In James 2:12, James described the reward in heaven as the crown of life. I think there's a temporal crown too. I believe the person who truly lives in the Christian life is the one who perseveres under the trial. He stayed in there. He didn't say, God, deliver me. Take me out from under this trial, this hardship, this adversity. I can't handle it. And God, I can imagine, is jumping up and down and clapping his hands and saying, I've been waiting to hear that from you for 30 or 40 or 50 years. I can't handle it. I can't handle adversity. I can't handle trials. I can't handle hardships. You know what? I do the best I can. I pray a little bit and leave other options on the table. Well, guess what, my friend? Now you know that prayer was useless when you prayed it. There was no full faith. There was no unquestioning commitment. Let's read a little more. I believe the person who truly lives in the Christian life is the one who perseveres under the trial. They are rewarded in this life with maturity, wisdom. Now you know what wisdom is, don't you? Spiritual insight and understanding into God's purposeful plan. That's real life at its best. Remember that God has not left us on our own to endure these things. He has given us a whole body of believers to strengthen and encourage our faith. Accept the gift He has given. If you are wounded and hurting, undergoing seasons of deep sorrows and pain, I pray that you never forget the importance of endurance, of abiding under. May God grant you, by His Spirit and through His Word, both wisdom and faith to reap the blessings of maturity. Listen to this. He, God, is working in you. Please don't mess it up. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of wisdom, the Word of the living God. We thank you for that small book of James. It is so full. It is overflowing with faith and commitment. And that real faith is something that is acted upon, as real love. It's not just an emotion. Real love is acted also upon. And it is acted out. Father, I pray that we have learned how to have the assurance that our prayers are answered when we pray them. And maybe before we pray, we need to back up sometimes. Some of us get on our knees to pray. Maybe we need to stand up again and say, Lord, I'm not ready. My faith is not full. And I don't know about the commitment. I've got some questions. I've got some doubt. Right now, I'm double-minded, and I know nothing in my life is stable. And I know that you won't hear my prayer. You won't even answer my prayer. So, Heavenly Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit to get me ready for a prayer that God is going to answer. And I pray that the will of Almighty God be done as I pray for others, that they will learn from my prayer to pray for themselves. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much, for teaching me so much, and giving me the ability to do what you ask, and that is to have prayers answered. I pray if there's some here this morning, if there's one not knowing Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit is working in you, God is at work in you, don't you hold on to that chair. Don't you hold on to the individual next to you. You just step out, because there's somebody in the aisle, the Holy Spirit, He's waiting to walk you up front. He's the one that brings salvation to you and gives you the gift of faith to respond in a positive way. Don't turn Him down, because He's coming back, and He'd love for you to go back with Him. That's possible. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen.